Go to Facebook right now, and you can watch this next conversation right in front of your very eyes. Rabbi Ari Kahn is with us. I know Rabbi Kahn for, longer than either of us would care to admit. In many ways, he's a Rebbe to me because he answers a lot of questions for me. And also, he's a Rebbe because his Svarim, specifically the ones on Chumash, on the ones with the Parsha Shavua, the Torah portion, are right next to my Shabbos table, and they are utilized on a regular basis, Rabbi Kahn. With that, I say welcome to JM
the
AM.
Thank you. It's nice. Somebody told me, no, your Sefer is right by my bedstand. I said, that's bad.
As if it could put you to sleep.
That's right. That's right. That's what I use to go to sleep. So I can always sell the stuff as sleep aids, right?
At least I have it at the dining room table. I mean, come on. Although I sometimes do those off there, but all right.
Okay.
You have to admit these are among the most difficult parshiot of the entire Torah.
Oh, no.
You don't agree with that?
No, I love these parshiot. They're so rich. There's so much going on. They're the best.
But I would think, because I've heard others say this,
yeah,
that after analyzing and after studying these parshiot, let's say we'll start with Yaakov and Esav, because that's where the real difficulties and all the craziness begins, right, you know, with the
dysfunctionality.
Correct. So starting with there, all the way to the brothers, and now, of course, the reunion with Yosef and his brothers, there are people who would say it becomes only more confusing the more you study it. You wouldn't agree with that.
Well, apparently you have a very sensitive moral, you know, sense, and therefore these issues, you know, concern you. But the parshiot are fascinating. The Torah is fascinating.
But it's funny you say moral sense, because that is part of the
That's
difficulty.
What bothers you.
Yeah. Whether it's chicanery or outright lying or whatever the case may
be. Okay. I may have said in a class more than once, because I think it's been recorded, and people get upset with me. I said, you know, you look at you look at the Shvatim. I said, how many of the Seres HaDibros did they break?
Too many.
Right? Unless you have, like, part of the cover-up.
Right.
You know, and say, oh, no, he really didn't do that. He really didn't do that. But and listen, we have an advantage. When we were in high school, we all skipped Perek Lamed Ched. So, so that's not even there. No, it was a printer's mistake. It goes straight from Lamed Zayin to Lamed Tes. There isn't a Lamed Ched over there. So so that all never happened.
So is that what it is, that because people did not have the, I don't want to say moral code, but may have overstepped their bounds when it came to those things? Is that what troubles people like me?
Yeah, because we're reading backwards. We're reading our vows. We're reading and expecting them all to have kept every sif in the Shulchan Aruch.
Right.
And
we're imprinting our expectations on them.
Yeah. But we all do that.
That happens a lot, right?
Yeah, we all do that. So instead, we have to look at them and realize these are tzaddikim, but there's a flaw over there. And that's part of the beauty of the Torah. I think the Maharal once said something to this effect, that if God didn't write the Torah, then it must have been an anti-Semite. Because you don't have this in other religions where the people are the heroes.
Right.
I mean, just think about it. Can you imagine Bible criticism, if you're going to give it any validity? So during the time of David and Melech, somebody's writing this about Yehuda?
Right.
Or writing about David? Like, how do you get away with that and be alive? No. There's a great deal of honesty over here. And that's really what's so important.
Interesting. Rabbi Ari Kahn is here. So tonight... Tonight there is a Siyum HaShas going on at Binyanei Homa. I do not know if you're one who peruses Daf Yomi each and every day. I don't know what your...
It's an addiction.
Do you consider it an addiction?
It's a total addiction. I can't stop.
I love your perspective on these things.
Last week I finished on Les Shabbos, and it was always like this hesitation, okay, do I open up brachos the next day or not? And of course I have to. I have no choice that I have to.
So you're ahead of the game already.
I'm always... Listen, I'm a rabbi, so people may ask me questions. So I have to make believe, like, yeah, I remember that from 7 years ago.
When it was really yesterday.
It was really yesterday.
So may I ask you how many times you've gone through Shas? Would that be a fair question?
It's a fair question. This may be the third time I'm finishing.
And, I mean, three is much different than one, right? I mean, what you gain from the third, I would guess, is much different than what you gained the first time around.
I'm looking at different things. I finished the book now. You get ready for my next book.
Let me hear.
It's a book on Agadot. And the stories in the Talmud and so on.
Called, what are we calling the book?
Crowns on the Letters.
Nice.
And I've been working on this book for 30 years. Really, like the oldest stuff is like 30 years old. And I can honestly say that the last time I went through, I'm checking every idea in the book and every daf that I'm learning.
To see if it's there or to see how it's interpreted?
To see if there's anything that is...
Right, that could add to it.
That add or counters, whatever. But I could just say that I went through last time. That's one of the things in my head, just checking every idea that I have in that book. Is that
unbelievable? I unfortunately can't relate to that. But someone like yourself, a scholar like yourself, it must be tremendous.
So as I'm doing it now, I'm looking at different things sometimes, trying to keep track: Eretz Yisrael, Bavel, which yeshiva, which what's going on, Rebbe, Talmud, ideas of certain people going all the way through. So I'm just trying to keep track of those kinds of things.
Right.
So I'm just looking at
who to you is the most fascinating figure in the Talmud.
Rabbi Akiva.
Oh, of course, right. How could it be anybody else?
How could it be anybody else? It's like, you know, in the Chumash, I have all kinds of people listen to my shiurim. So there's one woman, she lives in Las Vegas, and maybe she'll love the shout out if she hears this.
Sure.
And she's a grandmother a number of times over, and she says, no, I'm your groupie. And she's listened to around 800 of my shiurim, and she told me, she goes, you know that your favorite character in the Chumash is Yosef. I said, I didn't know it. I didn't listen to all of these, you know, shiurim. She did. So apparently it's Yosef and it's Rabbi Akiva, and Akiva ben Yosef. So I guess there's some kind of, there's something going on.
And
what
is it about Rabbi Akiva that makes him so fascinating?
I don't know how to answer that, because it's something which has been with me for a very, very long time. It's the pathos. It's the beginning of the story. It's the end of the story. And the ups and downs along the way to pick himself up. Who could have picked himself up?
I mean, talk about extremes.
Yeah.
He lived and died in extremes.
Who could have picked himself up like that and start all over again? And by the way, you think about those new Talmidim.
Right.
Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai.
Right.
What he did, who we are today is because of him.
Wow.
How could it be anybody else?
Unbelievable. And Yosef, what is the... how do you think he gets the position number one on your list?
I said something terrible in Shir yesterday. I give a Shir once a week in Shalavim. I may have said this also in a Shir in Bar Ilan yesterday, and it's a terrible thing to say. I said, either Yosef is completely brilliant,
right,
or I am. Because I figured out every single thing that he's doing here along the way, but I don't think, meaning it's what he did. See, Yosef interprets dreams. So then you have to follow with Yosef symbolism.
Right.
And it's all the symbolism which is so rich. When he puts the money back in the bag the first time and they walk away and they open the bag, what's he saying to them? You did this before. You took money and you left a brother behind. He's screaming at them, but he's a passive aggressive. So there's so much going on over there. So how can you not love it?
Tremendous.
He takes them back to the scene of their childhood when Lovin tracks them down and opens up the bags. And it's the same scene again. And he's trying to get them to point their finger up and yum you, just like Rachel, she did it then. And now he did the same thing. He's giving him an excuse to walk away again. Are they going to do it? Are they not going to do it? But there's just so much brilliance involved in what he does and what he says and how he does it. He knows they're coming. He knew they're coming from when he's 17 years old.
Because of the dream.
Because of the dreams. And then he knew it again when he hears the Sarah Mashkin's dream. Because he knows, oh.
Now this makes sense.
Yeah, think of the lesson that he got in politics by being in a political prison. Now he's going to know how everything works inside there. And he knows that this Paro, if he got rid of this guy, now he's going to understand how Paro works. And he knows that at some point Paro is going to have a crisis, and he's going to turn to this guy, and he's going to turn to me. I mean, he knows all this is happening. And when he hears Paro's dreams, he knows his brother's going to come look for food. It's all clear in front of him. So that's what I'm saying, that he is so brilliant. He's playing chess, and he's 20 steps ahead of them, and they have no idea that they're playing chess. They don't know who they're playing with. They just don't know what's happening. How can you not love Yosef?
What do you think of the reunion when he finally reveals himself, the revelation?
The moment before before he reveals himself is fascinating, because Yehuda is blaming Yosef for Mechiras Yosef. I know you're saying, no, we're talking about Binyamin now.
Yeah, right.
But he's not. You'll read the chapter later. he keeps on saying things about Yosef and not just about Binyamin, because Yehuda feels the guilt about Mechiras Yosef, and he keeps saying, if you do this, look what you're going to do to your father.
Right.
Look what you're going to do to my father.
Right.
Because my father loves the son, and if you take away the son that he loves, he's going to die. And then he goes, hi, I'm Yosef. Is my father still alive? Oh, I thought if you take away the son that he loves, he's going to die.
I never thought of that.
Is that boom?
That's unbelievable.
So, and how long is he listening? Because Yosef, again, interprets dreams, understands symbols, but he can't be Yehuda's therapist. He's his victim. And the victim over here is blaming the victim. We can make a movie out of this, by the way. Make a guy go to a psychologist, but he's the guy that he victimized earlier, and now you have... This is fascinating.
I love it. Remind everyone, please, because I've just forgotten for a moment the name of the book that we keep referring to.
This newest one is called Expirations Expanded.
There you go.
It was the first book I wrote 20 years ago, which I re-edited it. That was 500 pages on all five books, and this is 350 pages just on Voracious. There are new chapters in there, new parts of old chapters in there. I put sources in there. And
we should also mention you've written about the other four books as well.
I've written the other four books as well. I don't know how many books. It's over 10 books I read.
You love the ocean of Torah.
I love it.
You love it.
I love it.
And as you just described, you approached Afiomi the same way, like you're addicted to it.
Yeah, total.
Unbelievable.
Totally.
Bar Ilan. Yeah. How many years in Bar Ilan?
I don't know. I can't count.
And that
since 1990.
Wow. And that means what? A daily shiur or a specific academic course? What is it?
Academic courses. But it's Torah courses. I teach a course in Midrash. I teach a course in Agadah. And I teach a course in law and ethics. One day I started this summer to write a book on the law and ethics. That's the title. Halacha for an Imperfect World.
Wow.
So I got a paragraph written so far. I've an outline.
Does it start with that always?
That's what it starts with. But I find writing halacha very different because I have to be very precise. And in machshava, you don't have to be as precise. Don't ask me why, because I could be wrong in machshava.
Right.
it has to be more precise.
And you mentioned Shalvim, and there are other institutions.
I give a shiur in the OU once a week. For many, many, many years, I gave the shiur because my parents...
That's the one I see always on Facebook.
That's the one which is on... Yeah, that's the one which we go live. So my parents would come, but they recently stopped coming. I mean, they're well, Baruch Hashem. So, my parents, I asked my mother at some point, so are we even yet for all the
aggravation?
All the aggravation. She goes, yeah. So my mother's tzaddik, and she goes, yeah, we're even. We're good.
Unbelievable. You're incredible. Rabbi Ari Kahn, his books are remarkable. His lectures are incredible. You could do what I do, which is every time he pops up on Facebook from the OU Center, you can listen to it. That's always a Parsha Shir, right?
That's a Parsha Shir.
Always a Parsha Shir. And you did Vayigash already.
I did Vayigash this morning.
That's the one that popped up on my feed today. So if you want to know more about the revelation, it's there.
Yeah. So
just check it out on Facebook.
Again, lots of books on Parsha, working on other things on this book. On Agadot, I'm very excited about.
All right. Well, I love your description about your approach to Talmud, which is amazing. And tonight, you'll be there, I assume, to celebrate? Are you at any of the Siyum? Or you did your own Siyum on Shabbos?
I didn't even do it.
You didn't even do a Siyum?
No, I said to my wife, you know, the kids are coming over for Hanukkah. Right. And what's our Shabbos? She goes, no, it's Shas. You have to do something big. We have to a restaurant, something.
Right.
Something. So therefore, we just... did nothing so far.
Okay, so there's
so
time.
So in my shul, there may be something. I don't know. But meanwhile, I just turned the page and went on to brachos. They say the Rav said that he never made a Siyum.
Right.
Other than brachos, which you taught for years and years and years
Boston,
in Moriah. In Moriah. That was the Tuesday night shiur.
Meaning where in Moriah?
He gave a Tuesday night shiur in Manhattan, in the Upper West Side, in a shul.
And that was what he referred to as the only time he made a Siyum?
Yeah. That was all the Balabatim, which really were the shul rabbis. Right. Ago. My father went to that shiur for 40 years.
And that was a 10-year effort?
And that, something like that. He just went brachos from the whole
and
thing.
That he felt
and
was...
And that he felt that...
it deserved to see him.
It deserved to see him.
Well, in your case, I advocate for a Siyum. Or at least a Kiddush. I say at least a Kiddush. Something.
Okay.
Rabbi Kahn, you're amazing. Thank you so much for joining
Good
us
to
today.
See
Great
Thank
to
you.
See you. Rabbi Ari Kahn, everybody. Check him out. Facebook and a million other places. Plus, take my recommendation. Buy his books, especially the ones that are on the Parshios. Just incredible. More coming up. You're listening to a Thursday morning edition of JM The AM, and we are live at World Mizrahi headquarters in Yerushalayim.